and the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. To honor his life and legacy, the state funeral for President Jimmy Carter after his death yesterday at age 100 will be held on January 9th at the Washington National Cathedral. Nick Linton traveled to the Carter Center in Atlanta to pay respects to the 39th president.
When you see the flowers, you see the gifts, you see the impact that he had on all kinds of people, it's just a good reminder that when you're a good, decent person and do the right thing, that people will remember you well.
CBS's Mark Strassman looks back at some of the challenges of Carter's presidency.
More troubles than triumphs marked Carter's presidency. Double-digit inflation, long gas lines coast to coast, and most memorably, Iran held 52 Americans as hostages for more than a year.
More from CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
In his statement honoring Carter, President Biden said his predecessor saved, lifted, and changed the lives of people all across the globe. And he welcomed the world to join the United States in honoring Carter on the day of his state funeral next week, when Biden is expected to eulogize his longtime friend.
The Treasury Department says Chinese hackers remotely accessed several employee workstations and unclassified documents after compromising a third-party software service provider. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
According to a Treasury spokesperson, the compromised service has been taken offline, and there's no evidence indicating that the threat actor has continued accessing Treasury systems or information.
The Treasury Department says it learned of the hack on December 8th. With an estimated 1 million people expected to converge on Times Square tomorrow night, New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch offers reassurance.
At this time, there are no specific credible threats to the Times Square New Year's Eve celebration. However, we have been operating in a heightened threat environment since October 7th, and we remain vigilant.
The U.S. sends federal investigators to South Korea to help figure out what caused the crash landing of a Boeing jet yesterday. All but two of the 181 people on board were killed. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
Jeju Air Flight 2216 was already in trouble on its final approach. The pilot had reported a bird strike and sent a mayday signal. And the plane's landing gear wasn't down as it raced to the end of the runway and crashed into a concrete wall.
A judge in Argentina confirms charges against five people over the death of former One Direction star Liam Payne, who fell from a hotel balcony last summer. A judicial officer says that the judge has also ordered two of the five to be placed in custody for having supplied Payne with drugs. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Vikings jumped out to an early lead again against Green Bay and held on to win this time 27-25 over the Packers. Former Packer Aaron Jones says, from Justin Jefferson to tight end TJ Hockenson, the Vikings have depth.
We have weapons, and I think that's what was scary. We got so many playmakers, so guys understand that, and they make the most of their opportunities.
The Packers plagued with penalties, illegal formation, offsides on a field goal, even 12 men on the field. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that was on us as coaches. Called the personnel, somebody heard it different, and that's how we got 12 in the huddle. That's the first time that's happened in a really long time. You know, those are drive-stopping penalties.
And the NFL has announced that the Packers' final regular season game is Sunday at noon when they host the Bears. NBA, the Bucks lost to the Bulls over the weekend. Tomorrow, they play the Pacers in Indiana for an early New Year's Eve game. Tip-off time is 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, areas of fog and lows in the upper 20s. And staying mostly cloudy for tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. A little bit of sunshine on New Year's Day, highs into the low 20s, and upper teens to near 20 degrees with more sun Thursday and Friday. Current temp is 30.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we lead into Civic Media's New Year's Eve celebration with Lou Regani, with highlights from my appearances on some of your favorite Civic Media shows. Happy New Year, everyone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Took too long. I got caught in the rush hour. The fella started to shower you with love and affection. Now you won't look in my direction. On the expressway to your heart. That expressway.
All right, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Earl Ingram, guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. You can hear me Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. At 540 AM WAUK. But I have decided to dedicate this entire 2 hours to the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter. And as I continue to, talk about some of the great accomplishments of this man, what I want you to get out of this, and 855-752-4842, is when you hear the negative connotations that you're going to hear from people about Jimmy Carter. And is it true? Yes. When Jimmy Carter was president of the United States, I recall the oil embargo. And when the interest rates, I think it was 18, 20%. It was some outlandish number. Back in about 1976 or 75 or somewhere around there. I remember working. I was working in industry. I was in the automobile industry. And the inflation, the interest rate ballooned because of the oil embargo, something that Jimmy Carter had no control over. It forced recession. And so people blamed Jimmy Carter for that. And as I remember being laid off, being a very young man, not understanding why all of a sudden I was making money. And then all of a sudden I'm laid off, and it got me to start looking at how things work politically in the country. And so Jimmy Carter took the blame for that. And it's one of the reasons why they said Jimmy Carter was one of the worst presidents in the history of our nation because of that. But see, when you hear that, and then you hear, Jimmy Carter was responsible for the Iran-Contra hostages. But then you say, well, Jimmy Carter didn't, he showed weakness and cowardice. And so when you hear those things, which you're going to keep hearing, the other side of the equation is going to be bringing that up, you need to respond. With all of these great things that Jimmy Carter did, and they're so numerous that we're going to keep on rattling them off for the next, hour, because I would be remiss if I didn't do that. This is from Larry Leroy, and it says, Carter was very public about his faith. The group Americans United for Separation of Church and State issued a statement celebrating him for including church-state separation and religious freedom among the important issues he championed. Rachel Laser, head of Americans United, noted Carter opposed religious leaders and houses of worship politicking, taxpayer funding of religious organizations, especially those that discriminate, removing evolution from school. This is, if you close your eyes and fast forwarded this discussion and conversation to today, at the root of this last election was evangelicals and Christians who somehow intertwine with state. Jimmy Carter, as religious a man as there ever been, was opposed to that 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And yet, because he foresaw what transpired in this last election, the separation of church and state, which had a prominent role, and the founding fathers understood and knew the importance of that, all of a sudden, that's been done away with and it's creeped into the underbelly of this nation. And so now there is no separation of church and state anymore. It's almost like they're one and the same, and that can never be a good thing. We saw the impact of it the last election. And yet Jimmy Carter was a man who saw it coming 50 years ago and tried to warn us of it. Jimmy Carter established the Department of Education in 1979. Carter helped create a cabinet-level Department of Education, which focused on improving the quality of education and centralizing education policies at the federal level. Never mind, and don't misunderstand, that the man that's getting ready to become the president next month wants to do away with the Department of Education. At a time when, if ever there was a time that there needed to be a Department of Education, it's now. For heaven's sakes, America, which was once number one in education in the world, is now somewhere around 35, 36. The last thing we need to do is to do away with the Department of Education, something that Jimmy Carter was brilliant enough to create 50 years ago. Normalization of relations with China in 1979. Carter formally recognized the People's Republic of China, establishing diplomatic relations and improving ties between the two nations after years of isolation. I'm old enough. 855-752-4842. I'm Earl Ingram. I'm co-hosting for Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. You can hear me Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Here on 540 AM WAUK. So I'm old enough to remember, China. And when we had no involvement whatsoever with China, they were isolated from us, and we were isolated from them. And there was no way possible, because we felt like we were above the Chinese people. We never could see the vision that we'd ever come to a point where we would become trade partners. And we never could understand that because somebody lived in China and we lived in America, that we had more in common than we had not in common. It was Jimmy Carter, the man who saw that, and his humanity made us understand that we had to get beyond that. Had Jimmy Carter not done that, I don't know whether or not that would have ever happened, but it is because of him that it happened when it did. Global humanitarian work through the Carter Center. Now, over and over and over, people have decided, you know, against working with others. You know, one of the things that's missing in our nation, 855-752-4842, is the lack of humanity. And what the reason that makes no sense is because the one thing that ties us all together is humanity. It's the one thing that we should be able to come together on, not separate ourselves because of it. It is certainly one of the things that is going to, as Dr. King once so eloquently said, man must find a way to do away with war, or war will find a way to do away with mankind. And so because we don't understand the humanity of people of the earth, it's because of that that we continue to spend almost $1 trillion a year on military. Jimmy Carter was opposed to that, and he fought that. And it's another one of the reasons why they wanted to do away with Jimmy Carter and why they did away with him. The one thing that clearly that man understood was his love for all human beings. And I don't know why, for the life of me, that we can't see that that's the best way. It's the only way that there'll ever be peace. Jimmy Carter saw it. He lived his life fighting that fight. And so, again, I don't want anybody to misconstrue who he was. You know, like I said, you don't have to take my word for it. They got a great invention called Google. And man, you can Google the information and all of the things that this man has done and accomplished, and it will amaze you. You know, he clearly was a man who, even towards the end of his life, was still concerned about, you know, this nation and where it was headed as long as he was lucid. As he was starting to lose his thought in the last days that he was lucid, I was reading the other day, his concern was still about his beloved nation and the world and our nation's place in the world. In the last hours of his life, it's a reality of me thinking that I'll never see another man or get to know another man on that level who had the compassion that that man had. I'm Earl Ingram, hosting for Maggie Dawn. And you can join us at 855-752-4842. We're going to continue the life and legacy of the great Jimmy Carter. Hang on the phone line. We'll get you on the other side.
To love, I got caught in the rush hour. These fellas started to shower. You with love and a.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays
from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you got to buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Earl Ingram. I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. You can hear me Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on these same stations. And I am, you know, have dedicated this time to the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter. I'm gonna talk about some quotes of Jimmy Carter as we continue this march down memory lane. Let's go to Cam from Appleton. Hey, good afternoon to you, Cam. How you doing, sir? Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Hey, Earl. I'm going to try my hardest to only speak factual information here because I really, really need to get this point across for anyone who's listening, and that includes anyone working at Civic Media. If we're talking about Jimmy Carter and Jimmy Carter, his legacy in general, in 2019, June 28th, at a retreat in Virginia, he said, "There's no doubt that the Russians did interfere in the election, and I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put into office because the Russians interfered on his behalf." So he... If you want to call Jimmy Carter, not saying you specifically, just the global people listening, if you want to call Jimmy Carter an election denier, go ahead. But in the 2020 House Security Report, they're on their actual, like even the redacted report, it shows that the 2020 election, they also cheated. The Republicans cheated, and they did so poorly that that's why they were so pissed off, because they couldn't show that, hey, we cheated. That must mean that the Dems cheated too to win the election. And then this time they just cheated even harder. And we're collecting information right now, factual information showing the vote drop-off issues across different counties in the U.S. Maricopa County in Arizona is one of the major ones right now showing discrepancies. They cheated in this election too, and they thought that they could cover it up and keep it quiet. We need to be talking about this. And that needs to honor Jimmy Carter, too, because he believed that they cheated and they keep doing it. We're not going to learn anything if we keep letting them do it when he told us that they were doing it.
So, Cam, I've just spent an hour and a half talking about the legacy of a man who dedicated his life to helping other people. people from across the world, people he didn't know. His own money, building homes, dedicating his life to serving. And so it may be because of the age gap. And I'm going to attribute our conversation to you not knowing. And there's no crime in not knowing. That's the reason that I'm having the conversation now, to try to educate people who weren't around then, who don't know the impact of his life, and to relegate it to him, you know, saying that Republicans didn't cheat or Democrats didn't cheat on the election. That's nothing. That has no value whatsoever when we're talking about the impact that this man has had on hundreds of thousands of lives, sir. Cam?
Hello.
Yes.
My bad, Earl.
He just buzzed me in. That's my bad. That's not what I'm saying, Earl. I agree with you. He had an impact on hundreds of thousands of lives. What I'm saying is that he had that impact. So when he says that Trump cheated, I feel like he has some street cred, and we should have believed him. We should have investigated it fully. That's what we should have done. Jimmy Carter was a good man. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you can't call him an election denier. He has street cred. It was kind of a rhetorical.
Okay.
You're going to call you being the global, you calling him an election.
Cam? All right. So here's the deal, man. That to me, if you looked at all the other issues and the real issues that at Jimmy Carter and times that he was faced with as the president of the United States and throughout his entire life, that doesn't, you know, it just doesn't rate with all the different things as I've talked about, you know, what this man has done with his life. Here are some quotations from the great Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter. Listen to these words. We have a tendency to exalt ourselves and to dwell on the weakness and mistakes of others. I have come to realize that in every person there's something fine and pure and noble, along with a desire for self-fulfillment. Political and religious leaders must attempt to provide a society within which these human attributes can be nurtured and enhanced. And this is from his 1975 book, Why Not the Best? Man, if we would just take that advice and look at every American citizen, because everybody is born with a gift and a talent. And if we would cultivate the talents and the gifts of every human being born, we would not be in the situation that we're in now. But we don't cultivate talent and gifts of human beings. And that's exactly what Jimmy Carter was talking about back in 1975. We could learn from him today. Our government can express the highest common ideas of human beings if we demand of government true standards of excellence. At this bicentennial time of introspection and concern, we must demand such standards. And this is Jimmy Carter once again, and Why Not the Best? I'm Earl Ingram, the morning show host of The Earl Ingram Show. I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. I'm doing Motown Mondays. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Your thoughts on the life and legacy of former President Jimmy Carter on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Tributes to former President Jimmy Carter pour in after his death at age 100. His state funeral is scheduled for January 9th. At the Carter Center in Atlanta, Maya Ellinger paid her respects.
We're in such a polarized climate today, but I hope we can remember that, you know, Jimmy Carter is one of the people that can bring this community and this world together.
CBS's Christopher Cruz on a Treasury Department breach.
The intrusion happened earlier this month. Treasury officials say the hacker compromised a third-party cybersecurity service provider called Beyond Trust and was able to remotely access the workstations and some unclassified documents.
As many hit the road to head home or go somewhere to celebrate New Year's Eve, New York meteorologist Craig Allen reports it could be dicey from the upper Midwest to the Pacific Northwest.
There is definitely a large area of what may be some very slippery roads across South Dakota into Wyoming and Montana and making its way into Idaho, Oregon, and Washington State.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Vikings jumped out to an early lead again against Green Bay and held on to win this time 27-25 over the Packers. Former Packer Aaron Jones says from Justin Jefferson to tight end TJ Hockenson, the Vikings have depth.
We have weapons, and I think that's what was scary. We got so many playmakers, so guys understand that, and they make the most of their opportunities.
The Packers plagued with penalties, illegal formation, offsides on a field goal, even 12 men on the field. At Coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that was on us as coaches. Called the personnel, somebody heard it different, and that's how we got 12 in the huddle. That's the first time that's happened in a really long time. You know, those are drive-stopping penalties.
And the NFL has announced that the Packers' final regular season game is Sunday at noon when they host the Bears. NBA, the Bucks lost to the Bulls over the weekend. Tomorrow, they play the Pacers in Indiana for an early New Year's Eve game. Tip-off time is 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some dense fog in the overnight. Watch out for low visibilities and some slippery spots, too, with temperatures below freezing, upper 20s by dawn. North winds developing. Flurries, a little bit of rain and light snow into Tuesday and mid-30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be here with a Tuesday tangent from Luke, and we'll celebrate the new year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Earl Ingram, guest hosting for Maggie today. You can join me every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at 540 a.m. WAUK. And so today I'm dedicating these 2 hours to the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter. Our phone lines are open again at 855-752-4842. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what?
Thank you for dedicating this show to Jimmy Carter. There's two things. I read a long time ago that Reagan's people, before he got into the presidency, went over to Iraq and asked them to release the hostages after he got elected.
That's true.
So wouldn't get credit.
That's true.
Another thing is, one of the big reasons Carter had so much trouble with his presidency is because his own party was against him. Because he ran in the primary. It was Teddy Kennedy's turn.
Yes, sir.
They wanted Kennedy in. And he ran in the primary and beat Teddy Kennedy. And that was why he was fighting his own party. They did everything they could to make him look bad.
You know, Bob, you're on point with all of that. And the reason that I, you know, didn't give it a second thought because of that man, his life, his sacrifice. Listen, I've been married to the same woman for 43 years. He was married to Rosalynn for 78 years.
Yes, he was.
Bob, come on, man. You know, just a great man.
He was. Another thing, you remember, well, you know Bob Anson, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, when we were fighting for our pension, well, there was a lot of hard feelings among Teamsters because Carter deregulated the trucking industry. And that is part and parcel what meant the demise of our pension because of all the trucking companies. At one time, we had probably 20, 25 common carriers in Milwaukee. Now we have about that are union. Now we have about 3 or 4. And the only reason Carter deregulated the trucking industry, because Teddy Kennedy hated the Teamsters. He figured it was the Teamsters that took out his brother Jack. And he wanted to do whatever he could to ruin the Teamsters. And he did a good job.
Hey, Bob, I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for speaking up about that great man, Jimmy Carter. I really appreciate you and respect you for that. Let's go to Jill from Pewaukee. Hey, good morning to you. Oh, good afternoon to you, Jill. You say what?
First of all, I want to say it's an honor to speak with you because I'm a longtime listener to your show and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you.
Second of all, I want to kind of support Cam's call a little bit. President Carter was the model of humanitarianism, but he also was believed in democracy for everyone.
Yes.
So on the global stage, he and the Carter Center, one of their important functions was to monitor elections abroad. And he even probably helped to avoid revolution in Nicaragua by monitoring that election and convincing then-President Daniel Ortega that he, in fact, did not win the election and that he should step down for the good of his people, which he did, which is an amazing feat for anyone to be able to convince someone to give up power that way. And so I think what Cam was saying was that he, you know, through his work monitoring elections through the Carter Center, he probably has more credibility than anyone I can think of monitoring our own election. The Carter Center offered to monitor our recent elections to ensure that they were being run properly. So I was unaware that President Carter said that there was cheating in that 2016 election. But I do agree with Cam that that was an important function that President Carter did for our country and for the world. And if that was his conclusion, we probably do need to take that seriously.
You know, Jill, and maybe I misunderstood Cam, and so I apologize for that. I'm just a person who knows of the work of that man. And there are people who are looking right now to destroy his legacy. It's never going to be destroyed if I'm anywhere around, because I'm going to push back with facts. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Tom from Sun Prairie. Good morning. Good afternoon to you, Tom. How you doing, sir?
This is Lyle from the town of Sun Prairie.
Okay, all right.
You want?
Yeah, go ahead, Lyle. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to a brief anecdote. In 1976, Jimmy Carter was running in the Wisconsin primary, and in fact, that became the tilting point that got him in. But I was also running in a state assembly primary at Stevens Point, and I knew he was going to be coming for a speech, so I staged myself in the middle of the steps going up, and a photographer at the bottom and a photographer at the top, so I could get a photograph that I could use for later campaign literature of me with Jimmy Carter. Carter comes up. I reached out my hand. He gave his big smile. I held his hand. I looked down. I looked up. And thought we had everything perfectly. And then we get the photos back, and on each time they caught Jimmy Carter's smile in the back of my head. So I never had a usable photograph to use in my own campaign for the assembly.
Well, you know, just such a humble man, right?
Oh, he was wonderful, and he was quick-witted. On that one, the former governor, Lee Dreyfus, was chancellor, and he's introducing him at the speech. And they'd been a mix-up, and they'd canceled the speech a couple of days before. And in the introduction, Dreyfus says, "Well, I think Mr. Carter heard that my middle name was Sherman. And with the reputation Sherman has in the state of Georgia, he wouldn't come." And Carter gets up and said, "Well, Dr. Dreyfus, that's absolutely true. But then I found out that your first name was Lee, so we scheduled it."
He had a sense of humor. Jimmy Carter clearly had a sense of humor.
And he was quick-witted.
Yes, he really.
You know, because later on, I saw Chancellor Dreyfus, and I said, "You know, did the two of you set that up?" And he said, "No, you know, it's just spontaneous on my part and his."
You know, I really appreciate the story, and you know, anytime you know people can talk about that great man, I'm honored to be sitting here and allow you to tell the story. Thank you very much, man. Let's keep spreading the word about the great Jimmy Carter. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning, Chief. Oh, I get it right, man. Good afternoon. Yeah, man. Hey,
good
man.
Afternoon, boy. That's quite the habit of saying good morning.
When you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're used to saying morning. But go ahead.
Exactly. No, and I think it's most appropriate to dedicate the show to President Carter, great man. I just want to say a quick personal anecdote. I'd say around the early 2000s, he was up in West Bend at a Walmart of all places for a book signing, and they made it clear it was a limited time. I think from like 5 to 6, he was only going to sign during that hour. I got there early. There was a huge line, you know, probably more than 1,000 people. And this, you knew he was in the building when the Secret Service people started showing up with their suits and their earphones and whatnot,
right.
And they were looking at the crowd. I'm thinking, how is this guy going to sign all these books? Because I was probably number 600 in line or something, but I give the guy credit. He was going through them rapid fire. You know, you could not hand anything to the president. They gave him the book, and then they handed it to you. But as it went through the line, and I was, you know, in front of them, I said, "Thank you for coming to Wisconsin, Mr. President. What do you think of our state?" And without missing a beat, you know, he's signing and signing. He said, "I always enjoy coming to Wisconsin." And he says, "I always make sure I have a brat." And, you know, shows his sense of humor. And, you know, he did engage. So I can honestly say I spoke to the man. But it was a pleasure to see him and to have a brief interaction with him. But, boy, he signed these books. I think, Earl, he signed 1,000 of them probably within an hour. It was remarkable.
You know, Jim, the spirit of him, the essence of who he was, he wore that on his sleeve. He was not a person that, you know, that walked away or hid. He was available. He made himself available to people. He was a people person. For heaven's sakes, here's a guy who was a former president of the United States out all over this nation and all over the world building houses with average people. He took his hammer and nails and got busy, him and Rosalind Carter. And they dedicated their lives to building those things. For heaven's sakes, even in his 90s, he was still helping to build homes.
He was a remarkable man, no doubt about it, and it's most appropriate that you're covering him during this time period, because he will be missed. And unfortunately, politicians like him are few and far between nowadays. I hope his legacy, I did hear this morning that under his administration, he started the Department of Education and Department of Energy, which we know are both two departments that are under the microscope. So I hope his legacy is not at all diminished.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much for the story, man. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. My name is Earl Ingram. I'm the morning show host of the Earl Ingram Show. And I'm a guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. There was no choice for me of what I was going to talk about in these 2 hours. When I found out on Sunday afternoon that Jimmy Carter, you know, had finally crossed over, I had already had some guests lined up for my show this morning, and I certainly didn't want to take 10 or 15 minutes to talk about this man, this giant of a man who had a heart as soft as any human being that has ever lived. And so I wanted to make sure that, at least from my perspective, the Jimmy Carter that I've known, watched, and witnessed for the better part of 50, 60 years of my life, that story be told. And so when people who we know are going to, you know, ridicule him, just remember that anybody who's ridiculing Jimmy Carter is ridiculing a man who's attempted to walk in the footsteps of Christ. I didn't say he was Christ, but he attempted to walk in those footsteps, and he dedicated his life to that, he and his wife. 855-752-4842. I'm Earl Ingram, and guest hosting for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year, but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoke, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of Earl Ingram guest hosting for Maggie Dawn. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And let me, before I go back to the phone lines, I want to at least get these three quotes out from the great Jimmy Carter. But we know that democracy is always an unfinished creation. Each generation must renew its foundations. Each generation must rediscover the meaning of this hallowed vision in the light of its own modern challenges. For this generation, our life is nuclear survival. Liberty is human rights. The pursuit of happiness is a planet whose resources are devoted to the physical and spiritual nourishment of its inhabitants. Farewell address, January 1981. Jimmy Carter, we appreciate the past. We are grateful for the present, and we're looking forward to the future with great anticipation and commitment. October 1986 at the dedication of the Carter Presidential Library and Museum. And last, war may sometimes be a necessary evil. Now listen to this. Why can't we get all presidents and people to see it from this perspective? War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is always an evil, never a good. We will not learn to live together in peace by killing each other's children. December 2002 at his acceptance speech for the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's go quickly, Cardi, to whoever we have on the line, just put her on.
Sarah, you're on the line.
Sarah, go ahead.
Good afternoon. As a college student at a liberal arts school in Minnesota, I was able to spend a lot of time working with Habitat, and I got to meet President Carter and Roslyn briefly, very briefly, down in America's Georgia. And he gave an address, and I'm not sure if I've got it 100% correctly in my memory, because that was a while ago, but the gist of what I got from President Carter was, get off your knees. You pray with your hands by doing the work of God and doing for others what they need to have done for them. And that's that's my takeaway from Carter and his presidency. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us to try to think about right now, especially with potential upheaval coming our way.
You know, Sarah, at the root of it was not division. You know, at the root of it was bringing people together. That was more than anything else. That was the thing that I'll always remember about Jimmy Carter. So Carter, you said you've got a few words from President Carter. Go ahead.
Have some sound from Jimmy Carter. 1 second. Here we go.
Our social and political progress has been based on one fundamental principle: the value and importance of the individual.
Based on this knowledge of Georgians, North and South, rural and urban, liberal and conservative, I say to you quite frankly that the time for racial discrimination is over. These are not just my goals, and they will not be my accomplishments, but the affirmation of our nation's continuing moral strength.
Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. But we've discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning.
War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is always evil, never a good.
America did not invent human rights. In a very real sense, it's the other way around. Human rights invented America.
You know, those words, we can learn from them today. And so as I get ready to wrap up what clearly was the fastest 2 hours that I've ever done in radio, because I had an opportunity to tell you something if you didn't know about a man that I will say is one of the greatest men that ever lived during my lifetime, former President Jimmy Carter. You know, I'm honored to have had this opportunity to appear on the Maggie Dawn Show. And Cardi, man, it's been a pleasure.
Appreciate that, man. It's been memorable for me, man, learning all the new stuff about Jimmy Carter.
Well, man, great work for you. Hopefully you and I will hook up again. I know we will. But up next, the one and only, what is that guy's name, man? What is that guy's name? Dominic Sylvia. Is that who is that? Is that his name?
Yep, Dom Salvia's up next.
Okay, Dom Sylvia is coming up next. Thank all of you who took the time out to listen. You can hear me tomorrow morning. You have to get up awfully early, 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, on the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Well, not exactly. No Pat Kreitlow Monday or Tuesday, but you'll have Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lierley, so you better tune in. I better tune in.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The state funeral for 39th President Jimmy Carter will be held on January 9th at the Washington National Cathedral. CBS's Mark Strassman has more on Carter's career.
President Carter had two notable achievements. He negotiated the Panama Canal treaties, keeping it open to American ships and troops. And he engineered the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt, one of Israel's most dangerous adversaries. In 1980, Ronald Reagan became president, a landslide repudiation of the Carter years.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe has more on who is paying tribute to the former president.
Former and President-elect Trump said while he strongly disagreed with Carter, the late president worked hard to make America a better place, and for that, I give him my highest respect. Bill Clinton, now the only surviving president from the 20th century, said Carter worked tirelessly for a better